taking responsibility for actions. That's something new for Washington, D.C. To get specific, here's the purveyor of political accountability, Dan Newman.
Thank you for joining us today at dannewman.org. Folks, this may be the most important podcast in the very young life of dnewman.org. Insanity is the title. Insanity, it's here. But really, the reason insanity is here is because civility in America is dead, or it's certainly dying for certain. The art of communication with each other is now ancient history. Have you noticed, like me, just how angry conversations almost always seem to explode between people with different ideas, ideals, political perspectives, religious and ethnic and racial identities and nationalities? Whatever happened to what my mother always said to me? I'll never forget this. If you can't say something nice to or about somebody, don't say anything at all. That is now a lost art in America. The mantra of conversation, it seems to be now, if you think it, just say it. Don't worry about who or how your words might hurt. Just get it off your chest. It's okay. What drives this new art of communication, and what has changed? That's the insanity we're going to talk about today. There are no doubt dozens, if not hundreds, of things that shape the way we talk to and communicate with each other. But there seems to be one driving factor in this process today, and it's called meism. You've heard me use it once or twice before, but today we're going to concentrate on meism. Meism is a personal characteristic that is always shown up in every society. But in most of them, those who own it constitute just a little fraction of its population. But that percentage in America is today staggering and growing every day. Let's define it. Meism is self-importance without any evidence that we or our worldview or our perspective actually matters. Let me repeat that. Meism is self-importance without any evidence that we or our worldview actually matter. Everything is all about me, to the exclusion of everyone else in the world. And the only things that matter are the things that I think are important. What is really important in the world to meist is totally irrelevant in the context of what meist think. Meism is always partnered with narcissism and selflessness. No, I said selflessness. That's not true. It's selfishness. Those fit perfectly together and are interchangeable. If you know somebody who is selfish, or in your mind you've deemed them a narcissist, that person surely espouses and lives in meism. Unfortunately for all of us, it steals its way through every sector of our lives. Its byproduct is to always destroy relationships, personal, social, work atmosphere, even the most intrinsic and necessary values in the lives of all Americans. Those values found for centuries on the wheel of democracy that all have made America the greatest country in world history. For a democracy to live and last, relationships among its people must also. Meism's certain result in everyone who bears it, and everyone in those persons' lives, is certain death. Relational death. It's a certainty with meism. Front and center today in the U.S. is a particularly deep and dark meism that captured the hearts and minds of millions in our nation. It bleeds into every corner of our lives, but is most visible in American politics. Government, which is what politics is all about, used to be known as being of, by, and for the people, but no longer. Meists have made government and all political rhetoric about their self-interest at the exclusion and regard for the interest of everyone else. Political causes are no longer about facts. Miists disregard any fact that runs counter to their political perspective on the matter. Just theirs. They don't care about yours or mine. In meism, remember, meists think and feel about everything using as their basis in all thought this point. This is their perspective. No one else and no one else's opinion on any worldview, doesn't matter what it is, nobody else's matters. The hot iron in politics today, I don't need to tell you this, is illegal immigration, border interdiction that at least temporarily separates children who illegally enter the U.S. with adults that are sometimes their parents, sometimes they're not. While immigration law processes are completed, those kids are held in a detention environment. In this political narrative, meists and their minions must always have their victims. And of course, to have a victim, what else do you have to have? You always have to have a villain. Who are the illegal immigration victims? Of course, those children. Illegal immigration villain? President Donald Trump. Here's the simple leftist narrative that reeks of meism and has painted illegal immigration story with facts that are not true. Think about that. Facts that are not true. That's an oxymoron. How can a fact be not true if it's a fact? Well, let's look at a few. Meist fact number one. Donald Trump is the guilty party in separating children from their parents at the border, right? He started this zero policy. It's his zero tolerance policy. And it has no historical or legal precedent. Or does it?
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Interesting, rousing round of applause for former President Bill Clinton at a State of the Union. Wow. Who would have thought that he felt that way about illegal immigration? Let's move on. Mia's fact number two. If Hillary Clinton, if she was president instead of Donald Trump, none of this would be happening. She agreed that illegal immigrant children should be allowed into the United States, right?
And many children are fleeing from that violence.
Should they be able to stay here? It's safer.
It may be safer, but that's not the answer.
Should they be sent back?
First of all, we have to provide the best emergency care we can provide. We have children 5 and 6 years old who have come up from Central America. We need to do more to provide border security in southern Mexico.
They should be sent back now.
Well, they should be sent back as soon as it can be determined who responsible adults and their families are, because there are concerns about whether all of them can be sent back. But I think all of them who can be should be reunited with their families. And just as Vice President Biden is arguing today in Central America, we've got to do more. I started this when I was secretary, to deal with the violence in this region, to deal with border security. But we have to send a clear message. Just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean the child gets to stay. So we don't want to send a message that is contrary to our laws or will encourage more children to make that dangerous journey.
So Hillary Clinton pretty much felt or feels, maybe she felt or feels, we don't know, that was from during the campaign, feels pretty much the same way about illegal immigrant children. Let's move on. According to CNN, MSNBC, and other news outlets, Barack Obama never separated illegal immigrant children at the southern border from their parents, right?
This is not going to be a free ride. It's not going to be some instant amnesty. What's going to happen is you are going to pay a significant fine. You are going to learn English. You are going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who was in Mexico City applying legally. But after you've done these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship. So that it's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it. But over time, you give people an opportunity. Now, it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration. But they can't have a situation where you just have 500,000 people pouring over the border without any kind of mechanism to control it. So we've got to deal with that at the same time as we deal in a humane fashion with folks who have put down roots here, have become our neighbors, have become our friends. They may have children who are U.S. citizens. That's the kind of comprehensive approach that we have to take.
Wow. Former President Barack Obama sang a different song then than he is singing now, even though he's out of office, about what's going on at the southern border. So what about Congress? What's it like, and what's the opinion, and where do those in Congress and leadership sit regarding illegal immigration? Well, we of course know that Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York in the Senate, Senator Schumer has always been for open borders. He doesn't like stopping immigrants from coming into the United States. He definitely doesn't like the way it is now. He's always been that way, very consistent. You love to see that in the U.S. Congress, right?
We must create a system that converts the current flow of primarily low-skilled illegal immigrants into the United States into a more manageable and controlled flow of legal immigrants who can be absorbed by our economy. Let me elaborate. The first of these seven principles is that illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now and on rationalizing our system of legal immigration. That's plain and simple and unavoidable. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong, and we have to change it. Above all else, the American people want their government to be serious about protecting the public, enforcing the rule of law, and creating a rational system of legal immigration that will proactively fit our needs rather than reactively responding to future waves of illegal immigration. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally. To the advocates for strong, fair, effective, comprehensive immigration reform, and I'm certainly one, I say to you that the American people will never accept immigration reform unless they truly believe that their government is committed to ending future illegal immigration. And any successful comprehensive immigration reform bill must recognize this fact.
2009, Chuck Schumer felt like most Americans do today about illegal immigration. It's got to be stopped at all costs. We can't do anything about immigrants that are here illegally right now until we shore up the southern border. Today, Chuck Schumer is dead set against his own policy from 2009. Folks, the common thread in all of what you're hearing here today is political expedience, meism. In other words, what's good for me today is not dependent upon what is right or what I have taken as a position on any issue in my past, which at that time I demanded everybody understand it was right. It's expedience of the day for me, meism. And it's gone to a new level, folks. Listen to this. This is what people in the media, the leftist media, think about Americans who want to be kept safe, who want lots of legal immigration, but who want the government to stop letting people come willy-nilly across the southern border and making our country less safe, costing us billions and billions of dollars as American taxpayers. This, on Morning Joe, on Friday, on MSNBC.
What has to happen now, this can no longer be about who Trump is. It has to be about who we are. If we are working towards November, we can no longer say Trump's the bad guy. If you vote for Trump, you're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. If you vote for Trump, you are ripping children from parents' arms. The mistake that we've made in the past is look at that bad guy over there. Look at that bad guy. What the Democrats have to do is make the next election a referendum, not who Trump is, but who you are. If you vote for Trump, then you, the voter, you, not Donald Trump, are standing at the border like Nazis, going, you here, you here. And I think we now have to flip it. And it's a given, the evilness of Donald Trump. But if you vote, you can no longer separate yourself. You can't say, well, he's okay, but. And I think that gymnastics and I think that jujitsu has to happen.
Donnie Deutsch, a liberal commentator on Morning Joe on MSNBC. If you, not Donald Trump, don't take their position of meism, what they think, their worldview is the only right way, then you are just like a Nazi that stands at the border and says, you come, you come, you come, you go to the gas chamber. You go to prison, you go back. If you don't like globalism and open borders, they're saying, they said this on Friday, you're a Nazi. All of these simply give us a glimpse of exactly how Americans live dangerously close to seeing suddenly a country in which many actually embrace anarchy. Look around. Antifa. Massive anarchy on college campuses. Don't laugh at my assertion, because if you'll remember, throughout history, anarchy in every country that has endured a social civil war that came from the inside never saw it as a civil war or even as the results of any anarchy until it was too late. Stealth and apathy both are the primary tools that a narcissistic country of meists need and use to initiate drastic political revolt among the citizens of that country. Oh, we say, hey, none of this could ever happen in America. There are too many red, white, and blue patriots, of which we all are, Second Amendment staunch supporters that would never allow an overthrow of American democracy. Think about that. In America today, we've turned away from civility. We've turned away from equal justice under the law. We've turned away from liberty and justice for all. And we've turned away from servanthood in the government that formerly worked for the people. Remember that? But most importantly, we've turned away from God. Say what you will. Our forefathers knew exactly the absolute necessity of having God in the United States of America. They individually, over and over and over again, you can look up the papers they wrote. that said God's necessity and inclusion in our government and in our American lives was critical to our continued existence. They revered God and his power and his love for humankind. Yet meist have spent a couple of centuries pushing God very carefully, very quietly, out of government, out of school, now even out of private businesses, bakers, letting human nature through meism rule. What will it take to get our attention? Think about this. Honolulu was nothing more than a sleepy little Pacific Island town that Sunday morning back in December of 1942. But in an instant, thousands of Americans were slaughtered by Japanese bombers and fighter planes that no one thought could ever take out our great nation. Fortunately, they were unsuccessful. But tens of thousands of Americans had to give their lives. September 11, 2001, just another busy day in the Big Apple, until two airliners brought New York City to its knees as a third airliner snatched more American lives at the Pentagon in D.C. All of these certainly brought Americans to full attention for a little while. Time has a way of dulling our senses and putting us to sleep. I think we're snoozing. In fact, I don't think it. I know we are. How many Americans today are honestly willing to, as Patrick Henry 2.5 centuries ago did, stand up and proudly, loudly, and truthfully scream to fellow American patriots, "Give me liberty or give me death"? How many are still out there? That's a good question. I can't say. I pray another 9/11 or Pearl Harbor or some similar horror does not become the necessary calling to wake Americans again. I pray that instead we'll turn away from selfishness and self, look at the United States around us where we live with millions of other people, many of are just like us, and once more begin to find commonality with our fellow citizens, accepting the differences and finding ways to reconcile those differences instead of just backing off. We don't all have to think the same or feel the same about anyone or anything, but what we must regain is the ability and the desire to once again put ourselves last in the trio of God, the United States, and me. We got to find a way, folks. We're at the brink and most don't recognize it. I hope your eyes are open. And I hope you, like me, are pushing to get outside of my little world into your world with you. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And you stay tuned. Big announcement tomorrow at DeanNewman.org.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at DeanNewman.org.